Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to provide for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word. It provides us with the information we need to have in order to understand your policy of grace and how it exactly works, so it's compatible with your perfect integrity, and how it is we function on the basis of grace and not works. In fact, works are completely excluded and actually are harmful. So the challenge for us to operate on the basis of grace and glorify you as we do, and we ask that you, as we study, that by means of the Spirit, the information is communicated with subsequently made available for recall and application. You ask us, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our study of Romans, last time we just missed getting done with verse 14. Verse 14, I'll just read the whole verse in the New American Standard, because we noted the differences in the order of the words, but the information is the same. It's an if-then-else clause, which is he's making a case, he's using Bader's technique to make a case that the law is not the basis of function before God. The law has its place and its condemnation, it's not commendation. And it's pretty heavy duty what he's saying here, because it actually just this last word is the word that really nails it, because it's the word nullified or canceled, and it has to do with using a person who attempts to use the law for righteousness before God, which is not its application, actually has blessing canceled. In other words, this would be a believer. Because remember, this verse actually addresses two categories of a blessing from God. You've got the first category, which is faith alone in Christ alone. Of course, if you add works to that, you're not saved. And this is showing how if you add works to your spiritual life, you're not blessed. You would have blessings that normally be coming to you on the basis of grace that's canceled because you're trying to work for it. So when you work with God, or when you deal with God, it's all grace, 100%, soup to nuts. Everything is grace, and you have to understand that system. And it doesn't make you irresponsible, but it makes you recognize that God is the source of all things, and we are simply recipients of it based on capacity. And capacity would correlate to works in the system. But it's actually great. You're creating a capacity from understanding God's system that he can then fill. And that's what we get with the passive voice. This is in these passages. So, in the New American Standard, the verse says, if those who are of the law, these are the Jews who are trying to keep the law for salvation. And remember, that's what the battle is about. You've got Romans 1 and 2 describing two groups of people, both of whom are disoriented to God. One is the Gentiles who don't have a clue, and you wouldn't expect them to because they don't have the law, and never really had a relationship with God. And they're just functioning out in the woods because they don't even have a clue. But what's interesting is when you understand the system, they're actually coming to Jesus sooner than the Jews are. Because the Jews are making the argument that they are good people based on their law keeping. And he then shows that neither one are good. All are condemned. None is righteous, no, not one. And in fact, he's making the case here that if you're attempting to be spiritual by law keeping, that your spirituality is void. Canceled. So the point is that's not the way it works. So it says those who are of the law, that would be the Jews, are heirs. That means they're inheriting the promise. That's the second category of blessing from God after salvation. Faith is made void. So it's the issue here is faith and works are mutually exclusive. So if you're working, there's no faith. If you think that's what's necessary. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not talking about your responsibility here. I'm just talking about recognizing your situation before God and how it is that God relates to you on the basis of grace alone. So faith is made void and the promise is nullified or canceled. That's the last word we looked at, or we didn't get to it. We were just about to. It's translated as nullified in New American Standard. It's translated, and if you look at the Nestle Allen text, it's here. Let's see if I have that up here. I think it's up just right here. Abolished is what it says there. Another definition is render inoperative. That's the word. Our word categorico means to cancel, to nullify, to abrogate. So basically, a blessing you would accrue to you in normal case, if you go into legalism, is actually rescinded. And you don't get it. Because God, that would be from direct, remember, we're talking direct blessing from God. So that's one thing you have to specify here, because a lot of us are blessed indirectly. In fact, that's what the basis of a client nation. The client nation is blessed directly to believers, who are, especially those who are, actually every believer receives logistical grace, irrespective of their post-salvation function. So that sets up a baseline. And that sets up, in a country, Western civilization, I mean, you look at communism and the woke crowd, they're dealing with the various categories, they slice and dice the people according to the various categories of life, and they have this thing called intersectionality, where you have multiple slices and dices coming, and in every situation you've got people who are advantaged and disadvantages, advantage, and that's why they call them privileged or not privileged. And so it's a satanic attack on the truth, because that's what Satan did with the angels. You know, what we have with woke is the demonic attack, Satan's attack against the angels that turned them into demons as they fought God. Because in the communist system, God was the creator and the owner. Okay, so he's the enemy. He's the capitalist. And they're the workers in that viewpoint. Now, that really wasn't the case, but that was the viewpoint of the devil. And that's, they launched their battle against God in order to depose him, because he was the capitalist, when he was the creator of all things, and he still is. And so that war continues, and that's just getting, the communists under Marx, especially in, say, Russia and China, deployed this. Russia more of an economic concept. China took another level and made it much worse with the cultural concept. And then you have that propagating through country. Actually, most of these countries that have this blessing have been somewhat Christianized prior, because that's where the blessing came from. And that creates the, what they call the burgessy, or the middle class that runs the show, that is in a position to actually control prosperity, because they control the jobs. And it's a war there on that basis between the various factions in the community. And they assign a blessing, and privilege and lack of privilege to the various ones. And so it becomes a complete copy of the devil's war against God. So that's the way you can look at wokeism. Only they have intersectionality in every angle. You can be, it's a male-female intersectionality. It's a racial intersectionality. It's an economic intersectionality. It's an LGBTQ versus straight intersectionality. Each one of these has a, they call it with a DEI. You get a score. All right, diversity, equality, whatever the I forget what it stands for, and then that score determines how the system's supposed to relate to you, and it's completely communist, 100%. So that's what we got going in this country. That's what's ascendant on the Democrats' side, and it's based on this situation where God actually does not convey blessing to certain people because of their legalism. So that's how it comes. So when you understand the system, you understand it's pure grace. You operate on the basis of doctrine and let it go. The pieces will fall where they go, and you will be blessed by God appropriately based on His perfect integrity, and you just let it be. So, but this card, this is a constant. This is people who are legalists. In this case, the Jews in the context, because that's who he's talking to, and he's going to talk about them having the law, which the Gentiles didn't have. And that was, gave them a position of what? Privilege. It did, because Paul says there's advantages to the law. But they misused that. And actually was a disadvantage in the end, because they didn't understand what the law was for. Well, they did initially, and actually throughout the course of Israel, they pretty much handled it more or less properly. But after the captivity in Chaldea, when they came back to the land, they got real legalistic. After the initial, when they initially came back, because they were afraid that God is going to put them under discipline again, and they thought they were going to outdo God by being better than that, but of course that made it worse. They ended up going down the toilet the same way with the Pharisees right after Jesus was rejected. So they rejected Jesus because they rejected grace, and they didn't understand the system. It's really kind of ironic. that's what happens. And that's what's happening. You look at the propagation of the church across from the Levant in the Middle East, up north through what's now Turkey, and then on across and into the Greek areas of the Western world that became the Orthodox Church, the original Constantinople one, and that was during the inception of first half of the Roman Empire as it got the rollout. And then you have the Western Church, and it rolled across the East. If you look at the East, the way it looks, the Eastern Church has gone into legalism and ritualism much farther than the Western Church. And then out of the Western Church came the Protestant Reformation that retook it back to where Luther and the boys took it back to grace and faith alone, resetting the whole process as it propagates up into the Baltic and off into England, and then eventually to here. And we're all in that same trajectory. They all go up because of God's grace, and then they start flatlining because of negative volition, then this word here, kartageo, cancellation, and they start going down, and they start fighting over the stuff, and eventually they end up in communism. You have two divergent viewpoints that come out of this. You've got communism and the idea of socialism and humanism. That's the secular side of it. And then if they don't go secular, they end up in Mohammedanism. Those are the two legs that they go into. So if you look at these countries, they've all gone that way. I mean, right now, France and England are getting taken over. They've gone socialist already. All right. Now the next step is what? Mohammedanism. And that's heading this way. You see it coming here. And you wonder why things are the way they are. Well, there it is. There's your answer. Cancel. and so we're on our way down and picking up speed because we're rejecting the truth that God gave us. And that's where we all end up. Nobody survives this. I mean, if you think about it, no one ever survives the prosperity test. And this country's in the process of rejecting God's blessings because they're rejecting the grace policy, even though they don't know it. And as a result, we're gonna lose the country. Well, we know history says the United States is not in prophecy. That says it all. And what is left is something called the King of the West, which looks to be possibly fulminating over there as we speak. We'll see. The right players are involved. So, you know, it's just interesting to see how that all plays out. So, cancel, nullify, or abrogate. The perfect tense is a constant perfect that emphasizes a process that has been completed. So, this whole thing is you go negative on God's word, and the way you apply it on the basis of grace, under the ministry of the Spirit, and you got to have the Spirit. And really, that's the component that gets left out of the picture, generally. You talk to most church pastors, and they don't address the filling of the Spirit at all. And that's the only thing that matters. I mean, the filling of the Spirit is to the spiritual life what faith alone and Christ alone is to salvation. Sin qua non. You can't have it without it. It's because you can't understand doctrine. See, what they do is they take the Ten Commandments and the Divine Establishment Principles, and they say, this is what you got to do. Well, no. That's not what you have to do. Ten Commandments and Divine Establishment Principles apply to believer and unbeliever alike. But they conflate the spiritual life with that. Spiritual life is not the Ten Commandments. And this verse is telling you that. You try to be a good person by keeping the law and you're canceled. At least you're blessed. You're not canceled your salvation. You can't be. But your spiritual life is. And the other way you can understand that is the filling of the Spirit. So that's why most churches don't understand the way it works, because they don't teach that. They talk about the words, but they have a secular or a unbelieving viewpoint of it. I mean, look at the Bible. Parts of the Bible are relevant to the unbeliever. What would that be? Divine establishment and the gospel. No doctrine. Why? They don't understand it. You can't have the doctrine without the filling of the Spirit. So for believers only, you have doctrine. Well, they don't teach that. So they're not communicating the information properly. And the people they're communicating to aren't filled with the Spirit, so they can't understand it properly, even if they understand the words. Okay? It's all grace. And the grace power is the filling of the Spirit. Because that's what enables us to function. So existing parts are not the only ruled out, since the writer has in mind both past action and present reality. So he's correlating their negative volition and legalism in this case. Now, it wouldn't necessarily be the only case, but that is the case here because it's the Jews. And he's showing them the consequences of their legalism. In that the blessing they would have normally accrued from God because of positive volition to the Word of God is canceled because they're misapplying it. And they're thinking they have standing before God on the basis of this, which they do not. Because they're not in the right position. See, position is everything in the spiritual life. You're either in position or out of position. And when you're out of position, you can't do anything right. So, this is very similar to a cumulative aorist, except that it places an equal stress on what has happened in the past and the consequences of that action. So, as we as a nation, for example, decline, it's because believers who are the engine for the nation, because they're the source of the blessing from God, that's being canceled, stop fulfilling the objectives of the process by grace and faith. Grace and faith alone. So it's no different. Again, it's always grace and faith alone when it comes to a relationship with God, because we have no standing with Him apart from grace and faith. It's what He does for us that matters, not what we do for Him. And we do nothing for Him. I mean, we functionally can't do anything at all for Him. He does it all. It's what we will accept to receive from Him on the basis of grace. The whole attitude is that. So the passive voice, here we have the action coming into the verb, describes the promises of the blessing of God from God's justice that receives the action of the verb. It's canceled. The indicative mood is a potential indicative that the condition is part of a debater's technique. So basically, Paul is telling them that if you have that viewpoint about doctrine, and that you have to have standing before God on the basis of your works, you're canceled. Or the promise to you is canceled. And so it's left void. I mean, that's where we end up with. You don't have it. And so what's that create? Well, that creates a gap in the blessing that God has provided. And then what happens? They start rearranging the chairs on the Titanic in the country. Well, that's what socialism does. Because they don't understand the source of prosperity. And they think that everybody's going to have to... Well, in utopian socialism, you got to share it all. Of course, some share get more bigger than others, but that's beside the point. But that's why we end up with the two systems of Mohammedism or communism, because they're basically functioning the same way. It's just that their viewpoints are different. The principle being explained by Paul using the Bader's technique is that legalism cancels blessing from God's justice. So that's the problem. So today, as our nation's in decline, believers are failing to deploy the Word of God properly under the ministry of the Spirit, and as a result, God cancels direct blessing. Now, you still get indirect, and you still get logistical grace, which is irrevocable. But the added blessing that caused this nation and other nations prior, that went going all the way back into Jerusalem, that 2,000 years ago, are canceled. And the whole thing just goes into a tailspin. That's what we got going on here. And that's why the solution is not political. I mean, you can get the right guy in office, but he can't do anything because the people won't go there. I mean, we saw that in this last election last week. What did they vote for? I mean, there's really nothing on the ballot. Really, I mean, comparatively. There's no presidential election. There's a few things. I mean, I don't think there's even a House election, except a couple exceptions. A few governors, maybe. But what were on the ballot issues were on there. What did they vote for? Was it doctrinal? No! You got red states voting for abortion to be canonized in their constitution. Are you kidding me? Red states? Question mark? I doubt that. They're blue as hell. You're voting for that crap. They don't know nothing about doctrine. And that's what they're doing. Are you kidding me? these are people who allegedly are believers, or kind of that way, and they're going to be part of the cadre of people that vote for a president who might be kind of right, maybe. I mean, you never know, but maybe. At least he tries to stand for the right things for a while, maybe. But no, they're voting against it. It ain't fixable at that level. There's no political solution. There's no human solution. The only solution is get your butt in a doctrine class and learn the doctrine. And then you'll vote the right way when the voting comes down. And you won't care about the details because you're voting the right way, because when the vote comes, you're voting for the right reason. See, these people are all involved with the right thing in the wrong way. And they end up with the wrong. It's completely wrong. So you can look at this election and see this country doesn't have a chair. It has not a single chance. I don't care who gets elected next time. It isn't going anywhere. Okay? It's over, is what I'm saying. It's over. Now, that's a good thing, because we're out of here. I mean, we may be out of here before or sooner or later, but we're out of here. And we do know that. That the ticket's being punched as we speak for getting out of here. So, our expanded translation. For if they, by means of the law, are heirs, that means they have receiving the blessing, then, and we assume they are, again, De Bader's technique, then that faith has been voided, so the faith that they allege to have isn't really accepted, because God does not accept works. Okay? Works of the law are not accepted, period. Don't even try it, because it's going to backfire on you. And then, that faith has been voided, and with the result that it's permanently invalidated, and that promise has been canceled. So the promise correlates to the blessing. So he's breaking Abraham's situation down between his faith in Jesus for salvation, which occurred in Ur of Chaldee, and his having of the kid, Isaac, you know, 25, 30, 40 years later in Canaan, after he went there, when he reached spiritual maturity, which was the position where I can't do anything, God has to do it, I know God will do it, I'm just going to wait. Well, that's got to be our attitude. It's not fixable. And that's our situation here in the United States. It's not fixable. It's fixable if we get enough believers who are positive. It ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. Because the other, we haven't gone to Hebrews, but I probably need to take a side trip there and show you how once you've rejected the truth, you almost never make it back. It's in like Hebrews 6. And the consequences are inevitable, because you're paving the road to hell, if you want to call it that. And that's kind of you're not going there, but you're going to live like it. So we see from this that legalism and grace are mutually exclusive. They cannot coexist, because works always cancel grace. So that's the thing people don't get. I mentioned a guy I know that says, well, I'm going to be a good person and be legalistic about doing certain things, and it's going to make me safer. No, canceled. You just got canceled. I mean, salvation is irrevocable, so that's not in question. The spiritual life is non-existent. What's going to happen? At the evaluation of the believer, it's going to be smoke and fire. Because wood, hay, and stubble are going to be everything he produced. Because his motivation was wrong. Should have been operating on the basis of the filling of the Spirit. That's it. Apply the doctrine of the ministry of the Spirit. And then you'll have wood, hay, we'll have gold, silver, and precious stones. It won't be a big bonfire. We also see that works cancel grace, so legalism cancels direct blessing from God's justice. And that's the point. And of course, that's why the nation goes into a tailspin. That's why all the nations prior to here, and now we are, where it goes from here, we don't know. So that leaves us with a couple of options. There's got to be some kind of a resurgence, which probably could happen, maybe. And it happened in Rome. I mean, you wonder, how did they last 1,000 years? When we only lasted 300, maybe, if that. Before this complete repudiation of the standards that were established in the Constitution. I mean, no one's paying attention to that. The country's repudiating, I mean, by experience. And the Constitution was founded for what? Oh, Adams himself said it quite clearly. This Constitution won't work for anybody but a moral, religious people. So since we're amoral and irreligious, it certainly ain't getting played. Yeah, that's why the Constitution's getting trashed. The problem's not with the Constitution, it's with the people. that aren't going to Bible class to learn, and if they do go to Bible class, they ain't teaching them the right thing. Okay? And that's what happened. Jesus himself talked about it. He says, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. Well, who was teaching? Well, the rabbis, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were involved with that, were completely legalistic in their viewpoint of relating to God. No grace. So to the point where they didn't even accept him as Savior. See, he didn't come and do what they thought he had to do, which was to deliver them from Rome. So they participated in, well, it was necessary to happen. Somebody had to do it. They didn't have to, but they chose to be participants in the crucifixion. The Rome was just as guilty. But Rome didn't know. The Jews did, or they should have. I don't know that they did. But they had the information, it was available. Well, that's the status for the church, right? There's doctrine available if you understand it properly under the filling of the Spirit, but you don't know it because you haven't gone to class to get it. And if you did, you didn't go to the right class. You see? That's the problem. That's where we're at. So it's perfectly understandable why we are where we are. The fix? Well, there's two fixes, basically. Get in Bible class and learn how to be filled with the Spirit and evangelize like crazy. Maybe we'll get some new people up through here. And maybe that's why he's letting this thing come in from the south. I don't know. I don't know. I've got no idea. It happened in Rome. You think about it. What happened when the barbarians, yeah, they came into the town and they attacked them while they're doing their bread and circus thing. Right? And what happened? Then they ended up leaving with the doctrine and they end up being annexed into the Roman Empire. That would be what? France. In Germany, in England. Those were peripheral places. That you have to say they were part of the Roman Empire, right? Yeah, they were. Sure. At least half of England. And all of France and Germany. And even up into the Baltic states. So, the invaders, the barbarians, carried the empire for another 300, 400 years. So that's why they went 1,000 years, see? Now, we don't have that. Well, maybe we do. I mean, maybe the invaders are going to come in here. Maybe they're going to believe in doctrine. Maybe they're going to learn how to do it, the spiritual life. They haven't heard it. Probably. Very unlikely. It could be the reset we need. So, you never know. Remember, God turns a curse into a blessing. Or what we looked at to be a curse may well be a blessing from God. We just don't know how it worked. Wouldn't be surprised at all if that's how it goes on for another 300 years. I don't know. We'll see. I have no idea. But it's going to go one way or the other. Either there's going to be a reset in this country based on somebody here making a positive volition choice to the Word of God, or there's going to be an exit resurrection. Those are the choices. That's the only choices it can be. Trying to use the law as an instrument of adjustment to God's justice produces arrogance that motivates a system of self-righteousness. Arrogance and self-righteousness are tandems that always travel together. And if that isn't what we've got now, that's what we've got. I mean, the legalism of the left is overwhelming. They have their own cancel culture. Well, they're being canceled. Okay? Interesting. I mean, they're the least tolerant people in the world. You see that in these cities. It's happening. But see the intersectionality. Let's do communism. Let's do Marxism on the Jew-Palestinian story. The Jew is the privileged class. The Palestinian is the working class. Who are these people for? Oh, they're for the Palestinian. That's why. It's real simple. You wonder why you got what's going on down there in New York and places? All over the Europe. It's shocking. And people are shocked. Oh, how can this be? Well, it's woke. You can go right to the Handbook of Woke and see it. Because the Jews are the privileged class, and the Palestinians are the unprivileged class, and they're automatically for the unprivileged class. That's what they do. It's communism all over. It's the same thing. It's the devil's game right there happening. And that's what's happening in this country. Now, there's not a huge majority involved yet. It's just the people that are in the places where they've learned the false doctrine from the false teachers. That would be universities. Who used to be what? I mean, all these universities, they used to be theological seminaries where the Word of God was taught. All these big Ivy League colleges were bastions of doctrine back when they were ascendant and when the nation was ascendant. Let's move back to 1800, say. 1840s, 1830s. That's when these places were founded. Maybe before that, some of them. They were founded to teach the Word of God, which was the source of prosperity for the nation, based on this verse. And they've gone completely off track. And so you wonder why things are the way they are. It's perfectly logical. Don't be surprised. I heard Billy Graham. I mean, somebody asked him, I think it was on Todd Starnes' show. He asked him if he was surprised about this. He says, no. These people left the doctrine a long time ago. Well, what do you expect? He says, no, it's not a surprise at all about the Palestinian thing. You know, a lot of people are surprised. He says, no, I was not surprised at all. I expected it. This is completely consistent with their viewpoint. They're woke. So the response to what we've got going on in the world relating to this present war thing, or whatever it's called, it's not really a war, it's not big enough, but you know, it's a conflict, is, from woke perspective, is perfectly logical. Pretty amazing. So this means that God's righteousness, that is one half of His integrity, remember, righteousness and justice is a tandem, that is imputed on the basis of faith, and man's self-righteousness, that is product of human works, are mutually exclusive. So God cannot accept anything that we do in the way of righteousness. He has to give us righteousness for it to play. See, that's the thing. See, but what do you get that gets you a ticket to the game when you believe in Jesus? The imputed righteousness of God. That becomes the basis of your function before God, period. And that's imputed irrespective of your experience in life. That's why the tax collectors and prostitutes were coming to Jesus. You know, because they recognized that Jesus was given them, people was explaining the process, whereby they could receive the righteousness for salvation, and that's why the Sadducees and the Pharisees weren't coming, because they already thought they were. All right? That's what happened. So the ones that needed the help got it, because they would accept God's grace. The ones that needed it worse, but thought they were good enough they didn't need it, didn't get it. Okay, so they're going, they were the good people in the community that were upstanding according to the community that ended up in a lake of fire. Okay, because they died without believing in Jesus. There's no place in salvation adjustment to God's justice for man's self-righteousness or righteous works from compliance with the Mosaic law. There's no place in rebound or maturity adjustment to God's justice for man's self-righteousness or righteous works from compliance with the Mosaic law. See, it doesn't have anything to do with it. The point is that being a good person doesn't make you a good person from God's point of view. Because only good works that are produced under the filling ministry of the Spirit are divine good. See, the issue is being filled with the Spirit. You can't apply the doctrine properly unless you're filled with the Spirit. You can't even understand it. Because everybody that doesn't understand the mixture of the filling of the Spirit conflates doctrine with establishment. And it's not the same. Establishment is for believer and unbeliever. Doctrine of believer only. Totally different. Process operation. Actually, it's almost inverted the way it works. Self-righteousness directed towards God is a blasphemy of legalistic assumption that the imputation of God's righteousness is not sufficient, then man must add righteous works from keeping the law to it. See, that's the big lie. I'm going to be safe. No, you're going to be in a worse world of hurt than you ever thought. Because God's going to make war with that. God makes war against the arrogant believer, James 4:6, 1 Peter 5:5. Yeah. He makes war. It is blasphemy to assume that either man's self-righteousness or righteous works from the law can promote God's integrity. God's integrity has eternally existed in the status of infinite perfection, so no creature works can improve God's perfect integrity. See, God is perfect. He doesn't need any help. And He gives you His perfect righteousness the moment you believe in Jesus, on the basis of faith alone. Since integrity demands integrity, holiness demands holiness. Righteousness demands righteousness, and justice demands justice. Self-righteousness or works righteousness from keeping the law is totally excluded from grace mechanics of any of the adjustments to God's justice. So for, no matter where you are in the system, self-righteousness doesn't work. It actually cancels what God would do for you. And that makes it a form of discipline is what it is. This verse describes two systems of grace mechanics, so two systems of adjustment to God's justice are explained. The first is faith in Christ as a grace mechanic of salvation adjustment to God's justice. The word promise, that's our second word, we have faith and we have promise, and we have Abraham did both. He had the faith, that got him from, you know, from Ur of Chaldea over, all the way over across to the Canaan area. And then we have, years later, the promise fulfilled in the heir, which was his doctrine. And that heir was Isaac, that he was going to have as through his wife, Sarah, who came with him along the trip, not somebody else. And it wasn't going to be some associate either. It was going to be a son that he and Sarah would have, and his name ended up being Isaac. And that's the channel of the promise from God. Now, are there other promises associated with other people in the family? Yeah, there would be. There was, in fact. I mean, what did God tell Hagar and Ishmael to do when they ran off because they were being abused by Sarah? Now, it probably started with them. Okay, most likely. Because that's how it starts over yonder. I mean, it's the same thing. You got Ishmael would correspond to the Palestinians and Isaac would be the Jew. That was kind of what it was. So, what goes on over there? Oh, the Palestinians initiate the war, and then Israel gets hammered because they do the right thing about it. Because people over here that are writing the score don't have a clue about how the score should be written. Bunch of morons. No doctrine. So Satan dings God's people, and he promotes the so-called lack of privilege group. Well, Satan's judging his people. That's what happens. So, anyways, that's the problem is the promise comes through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not any other channel. And when we get right down to the real promises related to this, they're eternal, so you got to be a believer in Jesus to have it anyway. It's not just about your gene pool. It's about your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You have to have his righteousness. And you know, everybody gets that the same way. So, the word promise introduces the second system that refers to his blessings from maturity adjustment to God's justice, when the function of the post-salvation spiritual life. God's justice demands integrity for blessing. This integrity includes God's imputed righteousness. That's the predicate. You don't even get in the game without that. Believers only here. This doctrine does not apply to unbelievers. Well, unless they believe in Jesus, which at that point it does, of course. At salvation, that is combined with maximum doctrine resident in the soul, stream of consciousness under the filling ministry of the Spirit for spiritual maturity. So that's the continuous function of spirituality throughout the spiritual life by means of filling of the Spirit and learning the Word. God in His grace provides all that His integrity demands, imputed righteousness at salvation. In other words, all the assets come from God. Everything. Rebound in spirituality for grace perception. So you gotta acknowledge your sin, because why? When you sin, the filling of the Spirit is lost. You're still indwelled because you're sealed permanently for heaven. But your function before God, you don't have a clue if you're not filled with the Spirit. You're gonna learn the words from the Word of God wrong. Oh, you'll understand the words, but it'll be all cosmic. No spiritual. Because you're spiritually non-functional if you're not filled with the Spirit, even though you're a believer and you're going to heaven. So, spiritual rebound and spirituality for grace perception and living the life under the filling ministry of the Spirit combined with recall and application of Bible doctrine as a means of attaining maturity adjustment to God's justice. So we apply the doctrine, but it's not legalism. It's grace. Because all the assets are from God, not from us. We simply apply positive volition. All the way through. God's integrity has always existed in a state of absolute perfection. Man is a creature of time. God's integrity is a part of his eternal existence, so there is nothing man can do in self-righteousness or righteous works that adds or subtracts from God's perfect eternal integrity. See, we don't add or subtract anything from God. We're beneficiaries of His work, but He isn't benefited per se from ours. In other words, He doesn't need us. People say that idea. Oh, God needs me to do this. No, He doesn't need any of that. That's a bunch of crap. That's self-righteousness. No, you'll be blessed by God if you do the right thing in the right way. Yeah, you will. If you do it, again, right thing in the right way, be filled with the Spirit and do the work. Do whatever's appropriate. Whatever the Holy Spirit motivates you to do. He may not motivate you to do a lot of the things that people would have you do. I mean, one of the big problems in the church is the church perceives itself as a means of cleaning up the devil's world. That is not the church's job. Our job is to evangelize the unbeliever and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Period. That will not involve cleaning up the devil's world. How do I know that? Because Jesus didn't. He didn't hang around here to fix the place. He left. And when He comes back, He's going to toast it. The devil's going to be toasted. He's going to be thrown into the abyss. And His people are all going to be thrown into torments. Okay? That's what's going to happen when He shows up. He didn't even start the millennium until that's done. Man's self-righteousness or righteous work does not glorify or impress God. Actually, God's righteousness rejects the righteousness of man, and God's justice condemns and various judgments destroy man's legalistic works. When you get right down to it, if you end up, I mean, if you, every judgment that occurs where works come into view that are minus the filling of the Spirit, there's fire. For the believer, you've got the evaluation, and what? He will be saved yet as through fire. Okay? That's for the believer. They're going to heaven, all of them, irrespective of their works. Some will be blessed more because they did the things the right way. Others, no, not so much. Unbelievers that show up at the great white throne judgment, they go directly to the lake fire. See? Because their works, their name is not found in the book of life. Why? They don't have God's righteousness. Because they didn't believe in Jesus. So their only destiny is the lake of fire. Okay? So that's where it ends up. So every time there's human works involved, it has to do with fire. And the word for fire means purification. That was how they purified things back in the day. The word pur is what it stands for. It's kind of a transliteration of purification. It's translated fire, though. The faith that saves is exclusive of the principle whereby the human is the exclusive principle. The word, if you notice, we have the law, and there's other places it says the faith. Now, when you see remember, every time you see the word the in front of a noun in the Greek, the article in front of the noun makes it what we call monadic. There's two phrases or two types of nouns that come into play here. We talk about this regularly because generally the English translations don't put the in front of it. But it's very important to put it there because it actually defines the term. Monadic means there's one example of that in the context. Anarthous means that it's the highest quality. So, for example, when it's talking about God, you may or may not have the. Because sometimes it will be talking about His person. It would have the. And other times it would be talking about His identity and would not have the. Okay? So you get it both ways. But in these verses, we're seeing the faith and the law. Well, that's specific. The faith is believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Okay? Faith alone and Christ alone. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says it perfectly. By grace you've been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, so the works there are from the law normally. And the law is the same situation. So it's the faith that we believe in the Lord Jesus. No other faith matters. The law in this case is Mosaic law. What is that? Well, that's really divine establishment. There's the principles of freedom that are in the Word of God for Israel. As the first client nation, it was codified in the Ten Commandments. And all the rules there are related to a establishment viewpoint. You got marriage, you got family, you've got all the things that are, I mean, integrity. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then the final bucket that picks up all the pieces is thou shalt not covet. That nails everybody. Because the reason you broke all them other ones is because you did covet. Okay, so that's the big bucket. That's where Paul said, I can do all them, but I can't handle this one. That's what he said. And it's true, because that was the big bucket. It all any loose end that the other ones didn't cover, dumped right in that one. So number 10 got you, even if the other might not have. So whatever. The point here is, that's establishment. It establishes freedom, marriage, family, and not nationalism. That's in Genesis 11. That for client nation, within the client nation, it defined the structure, and that was the law. That's how it's referred to. And when you see the words the law, it's the Mosaic law. So that's the definition of truth as it relates to believer and unbeliever. It's the best they can do before they believe. So there's no merit in faith. All the merit belongs exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the object of faith. All the believing in the world and anything else, you can believe whatever you want to believe else otherwise, but it's not worthy. It's worthless. All the believing in anything else besides the Lord Jesus Christ in the world receives nothing but condemnation from God's justice. But the smallest amount of faith in Jesus Christ secures God's righteousness and eternal salvation. See, that's the gateway into the party. And if you ain't a believer in Jesus, you ain't shit. It's that simple. Okay, you're not even going to be there because you're not. It's gone. You're toasted. Not ever to be seen of or heard of again. That's what the scripture says. Okay? In this place called the Lake of Fire. Therefore, faith is not something we do. It's a channel whereby we appropriate what God has done for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus' work on the cross is how God found a way to bless us from His perfect integrity without compromising His perfect justice. See, that's why it has to be faith in Jesus Christ. He has to fulfill this. That's the big conundrum we've got to recognize that God had to resolve. How is it that he allowed Adam and the woman to fall? He permitted it. So, since he did, he has to provide a system to extract them from that situation that is completely from him. And that was where the Messiah came into view. And we understand that to be the Savior. And his name, as we got down through history, we understood who it was. He was just called the seed of the woman for thousands of years. They didn't know. But we get down to where we're living. It's in the past, so we can pick up a name of a person, and that would be Jesus Christ. Ends up being his name. So that's why it's his, that name. Before that, we don't know what name that Abraham understood it to be. He understood it to be the seed of the woman in some respect. That doctrine had been conveyed to him some way, and he believed it, unlike most everybody else in the environment. So under the principle of legalism, self-righteousness or works of the law, man strives for a status of humanly produced righteousness that he falsely assumes pleases God. And of course, even though it does comply with God's law, it does not please God. See, that's the thing you got to realize. Law-keeping is not righteousness from God's perspective. Now, what is righteousness? Law-keeping under the filling of the Spirit. Because you have to do the right thing. That would be, the law is perfect, holy, just. Well, there's a definition, we'll get to it when we get down the road in Romans. But the law is holy, just, and good. So if the law is holy, just, and good, there's got to be something good. What is that? It's truth. So, but you got to do it right. You got to do it on the filling of the Spirit, which means it's grace. See, that's the thing that's left out. And that's too, unfortunately, that is what is preventing our nation from continuing in its previous state. Striving for works righteousness actually backfires because it cancels faith in Jesus Christ in for salvation. That's why it says not of works in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And rejects God's integrity, thereby canceling God's direct blessing. So, if it occurs, in other words, so a person who thinks that, in one of the cases we were looking at here in Romans, they said to the Gentiles, and we saw a big problem with Galatians, that you just, not only do you have to believe in Christ, you got to be circumcised. And of course, that was completely false, because if they did, then they weren't saved. Okay? It's faith, not works. So law keeping doesn't get you saved. Not even a bit of it. So is a benefit to keeping law? Sure, because it's true. But it's not going to get you saved. It does not cut mustard with God. You got to believe in Jesus, because He is the method for God's solution for the problem, and He alone. Because He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin on our behalf, because so that we could become God's righteousness through Him. See, that's how it has to happen. We are not in position to play this legal game. Again, I've said that before. There's only three people that could play that game: Jesus, Adam, and the woman. The only three people that could play the game, and the angels, of course. They had a chance to play that game. And a third of them apparently chose not to, because they fell with the devil, with his story about God and his wokeness. Only that grace provision that is sourced from God, its integrity, is compatible with God's essence and His attributes. See, that's the point. It's got to be compatible with God. Self-righteousness through keeping the law is a principle of works that is totally incompatible with God's perfect integrity. It's not because it's not good, it's because it doesn't have position. See, it's good to do the law, but you can't do it from a position of not perfect righteousness. Not properly. You got to have God's perfect righteousness first. And in the case of a believer, in the church age, you got to be filled with the Spirit. Justification by faith recognizes both God's integrity and the fact that God loves His own integrity. And God's integrity completely excludes human works. So He found a way to save us apart from us, because we couldn't do anything. Because we're what? Spiritually dead. See, that's the problem. Somebody who's dead can't do anything. And an unbeliever cannot do anything that is spiritual. And you have to relate to God with spirituality. My Father wishes those who will worship Him with spirit and truth. See, that's what He's looking for. That is the predicate. The principle of righteousness by works of the law is an evil satanic principle that was presented to man in the garden as an alternative to God's perfect environment. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was the presentation of the satanic plan of good and evil as being superior to God's perfect environment. Now, why was it superior? Well, it wasn't, but they thought it would be. Why? What was the woman after? Wisdom. Okay, so Satan made the lie that if you follow me and eat of that fruit of that tree, then you'll be wise. That was what she's after. And that wisdom would make you as smart as God. Okay, but see, that was information she didn't need to have. She didn't have capacity to deal with it. So he suckered her into that deal. And she fell for it. Okay, that's why she was described, as Paul describes her, as being completely deceived. She thought it was the way to go. Adam knew better. And of course, that's why there's different, the man and the woman play different parts of the role in the human race as a result of that. Perfect environment is from God's justice as a result of God's perfect creation by God's perfect integrity. In the Garden of Eden, the works of the law were described as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so that's they were going to have a greater span of awareness, but it wasn't going to be any helpful. It was actually very hurtful. Because the good is bad. People think that, oh, we got good and evil in the Bible. No. They're both bad. They're both evil. The good is evil. See, that's the thing you got to realize. It's not just it's not divine good we're talking about there. It's human good. From a state of spiritual death. Ooh. Good refers to human good from self-righteousness, and evil refers to Satan's plan that functions in opposition to God. This means that under the law of works, good and evil are synonyms, because the good that is actually human good is being produced is evil, so human good is evil. See, people say, oh, they were given two choices, good and evil. But no, they were all evil. It's just that some of it was less dangerous, less, less, it was actually doing the right thing in the wrong way. But the objective of Satan was to have them do a right thing in the wrong way so God wouldn't accept it. See, it was all evil. People think that the devil's after people being bad. No, he's not after. He's after people being good people in a wrong way. That's really what he's after. It doesn't help him to have people that cause problems. He wants to have everybody be good church-going people and do it without being filled with the Spirit, because that honors him and not God. See, that's what we got going here. Good church-going people, keeping the law. Oh, they're good people. No, they're evil, because they don't work filled with the Spirit. So they did the right thing in the wrong way. See, that's the problem. So when you see that good and evil back there in Genesis, it's not, it's evil and evil, is really what it is. The evil of human good plus the evil of the devil's plan, which is an alternative to God's plan. The purpose of the law is to condemn mankind, not to commend. The law eliminates human self-righteousness and condemns arrogance, and that's the source of human self-righteousness. The law confirms man's sinfulness and results in spiritual death. Therefore, the law reveals the need for salvation, adjustment to God's justice by believing in Jesus. See, the law tells us what we need to do as well as how to do it. That's all the parts of the Mosaic Law that was in there. That's why people in the Old Testament could get there from here. People like David, for example. While the law cannot save, it can provide awareness of the need for salvation as well as the information regarding the means of salvation, that is faith in Christ alone. In Galatians 3:24, the law is described as a tutor or school bus that will bring us to Christ or salvation. It is not the instrument of salvation. It carries us to the point where we can understand the issue of salvation and believe it. Therefore, the law is an instrument of condemnation and a means of evangelism. The fact that millions of Jews used the law properly in recognizing their condemnation and turning to Jesus for salvation emphasizes the fact that every Jew did not distort the law. Now, the Pharisees obviously did. Not all of them. I mean, Nicodemus didn't. Joseph of Arimathea didn't. So there were... Paul, another Pharisee, didn't. You know, it took a pretty big hit on the head for him to turn. But he turned. In fact, throughout history, of Mosaic Law has been employed with the compatibility with God's purpose by condemning and evangelizing, by bringing people to the point of salvation adjustment to God's justice by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll pick up here next time with verse 15. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to study your word and the blessing it is to have proper understanding of it so that we can make the right choices and operate on the basis of truth, because that's really the issue. We have to be compatible with your perfection, and the only way that's possible is when we deploy your power in our lives by means of the Spirit. Help us to do that, and we ask this thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.